The National Football League originated in the 1920s in rural America, then moved to the cities to flourish and prosper. But each summer, the game relives its heritage. Tiny college towns across the country witness the first bloom of the NFL season.
St. John Fisher, the Bills reporting today. The late, great John Facenda there. Look what they used to do for the NFL. You know, this presentation.
Should we get some Bills highlights from last year with like this, like the old NFL's music? NFL Films music.
What happened at camp last year? What was the story at camp last year?
Last year? Was there?
I mean, it was Coleman, watching Coleman, seeing how he can be a part of the offense. It was
Samuel got hurt.
Cole Bishop got hurt.
Mike Edwards got hurt, never really participated.
Yeah. Injuries, like, I don't really remember. 2 years ago, I remember that was Shakir had a bad camp, and, like, there was wonder if he was on the roster bubble. He was not. The year before that was the year that Kyrie Elam wore boxing gloves.
Yep. And got into a fight with Diggs, maybe?
No, him and Diggs, like, fought, I feel like, every day for, like, 2 weeks.
It's because he held a lot.
Yeah. There's the EJ Manuel hospitality tent training camp.
Yes, great moments in camp history.
But what was last year?
There's the I think the EJ Manuel hospitality tent training camp was the same training camp where there was a primetime practice on the turf stadium, and Manuel's offense did nothing, and then Jeff Toole went in and just like lit it up.
Tool time was born.
Tool time. Don't forget Tool time.
Tool time.
Yeah, I was trying to put together a training camp bingo card.
Yeah.
For this year.
Okay.
And it wasn't as easy as coming up with as I remember. You know, there's quotes like defense is ahead of the offense.
But you got to get like some turkey burger reference in on there somewhere, because that seems to be an every year thing now.
Defense ahead of the offense, that might not happen this year. The offense is fully returning. Well, a couple receivers, but the offense is back, and there's not a lot of change. And the defense is going through a lot of changes with personnel. But whatever, it's something you always say at camp. I've got a Bills training camp bingo board. I've got Sean McDermott clapping is the free space. You know, we're gonna see.
Yeah,
gonna see that a little bit. Hearing Bobby Babich yell, you hear that from the sidelines.
He's fiery. He's fiery out there.
Curtis Samuel lines up in the backfield.
Okay.
Keon Coleman leaping, spinning end zone catch.
Yep,
a lot of those.
That should be on there. What about like a fans fall in love with guy that has no chance of making the team spot?
Who's that going to be this year?
That's the thing. Should we pick someone specific though, or just pick like anyone? It could be anybody.
Although last year,
unnecessary Frank Gore Jr. hype.
Okay, that might be it.
That might be a good one.
Last year, one of the guys to fall in love was Joe Andreessen, and he made the team, and he's still here.
That is true. Like is he like the first one of those to really make it? Like guy that everyone learned about and fell in love with at camp and then in the preseason, but then he actually made the team.
Yeah.
Because like you go back to your Brandon Rileys of the world, like those guys never made the team. Most of them, I don't think.
Yeah, the bingo board.
Normally,
they're
offensive players. Also,
that's right. That's right. Lionel Gates is a name I always remember. Running back Lionel Gates.
Okay.
Louisville.
Yep. Joik Bell was one of those.
Okay.
Although he actually had a career in the NFL after he left the Bills, so maybe they should have put him on the team.
Great moments in camp history.
But yeah, like this year, is that going to be? You know, I don't even know who it would be. It would be Frank Gore Jr. again. Their backups are the same. Caden Prather, there you go. The seventh round receiver that they picked. He's going to light. If he has a couple of big preseason catches, he's got like no path to making the team, basically.
Yeah. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Thanks for watching, texting, tweeting, whatever. If you're watching this on the YouTube stream, go ahead and give us a like and a subscribe. And remember, we're going to be at camp tomorrow. Owen, we're practicing today to set things up to broadcast live from camp, not just like we normally do, but now you're going to get to see our faces from St. John Fisher. So a YouTube stream from Fisher, right? That's the plan. We should be up and running tomorrow.
Yep, that's right. We're going to be getting the cameras out there. We got a new setup. We got some new lights. We should be getting it rolling, and we're super excited about it. Should be super fun to get
lights
some,
in there too, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got new,
light us up.
Yeah, we got lights, and it's going to be pretty awesome. Super excited.
People are going to see, what do they see at camp? What do we do? What do we do? Anything different? It's kind
of
like this.
You'll see the background of us, which is generally can be players walking in.
By. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the one thing.
There's some activity
when it's really behind us. When it's really nice out, I often say to you, it's too bad we can't do the show outside. When we're at camp, we do. We will be.
It's awesome.
Outside under a pavilion.
It's not quite college game day, though. Like, it's not.
Well, we don't have. Right.
We don't quite have that production. Could we? Value
we're there way too early in the morning, also, for any. The
college game day gets there pretty early, and there are people that wait overnight. Yes. They might be not on the air, but college game day's got people behind them, so. If anybody wants to show up with, you know, a big sign that says whatever and stand behind us, well, you might not be able to, but we'll welcome you anyway. 803-0550.
Depending on the sign.
It just occurred to me, here's how, you know, football season's starting. I haven't texted him or called him about it, but Howard's got to pick the Bills soon. The pre-camp pick the Bills.
You want to cold call him?
I thought about it.
Just cold call him?
Maybe we'll
just
do that today. Give him time to wake up.
A little
up.
Bit later?
Yeah.
Oh, a good text on this. Maybe should Josh Allen wearing a visor during practice be on the bingo board? He always wears like the dark visor that is not allowed in games.
That's right. The new helmet.
Just to look cool.
Will he wear the new helmet to camp number one? They're having a new helmet. He does it at the blue and red scrimmage.
Do other teams do that with alternate helmets?
I don't know.
Will they wear them at practice?
You get a red jersey and throw on the second helmet.
Because they get, it's like, this is the helmet they wear during the season.
Yes.
So, do they do that to get used to the new helmet? That's a good question. I feel like they would. I feel like that you would want to get used to your other helmet that you're going to wear during the season, so why wouldn't you wear it during practice?
We're waiting for the Bills' new helmet, which a helmet comes out today. So, we don't know what time yet. Maybe we get some information on that. There's been some reporting about that it won't be red. We don't know if that's true or not, but today we find out. The Bills enter a room that I feel like I've wanted them to be in. A lot of teams are having uniform fun in this rivalry series. It's a chance for the Bills to get involved, and a new helmet comes today. I don't know if it's related to the rivalries. I don't think it is, but if it is, in fact, white and gray, I'm going to start to think that it is.
Hmm.
But we'll see. Who knows? Alex in Rochester. Hey, Alex. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Morning.
Wanted to touch on the Bills and Cook and Hard Knocks, and then I had one tiny, tiny Sabres point. But first thing on Cook and the Bills, Mike and Bulldog yesterday were talking about Hard Knocks and how that might affect his negotiation strategy. And they were looking at it through the lens of, hey, if Cook really wants to make a statement here, he should hold out and get all the national viewers on Hard Knocks and fans potentially taking the team's side. And I think they were missing one point here is that, like, I'm pretty sure the Bills have either full or a lot of editorial control on Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Davis is a guy waiting in the wings. Ray Davis is a guy that's perfect for that show. Just based on his background and his story. So I actually think that Cook holding out that strategy might not work. I think it's better for him to come to camp. But we'd just like your thoughts on that. And then one small thing on Sabres Embedded, that line that Yarmo had about paintings, it's easier to
tame a tiger than to paint stripes on a pussycat is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not. Not at all. Are you kidding? If you had the chance, wouldn't you rather put stripes on the cushion than tame a tiger? Tiger? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex. Alex, we'll get to that. The Sabres embedded there in a minute. So on the Cook thing, I did hear this conversation. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, asking Sal about the potential for a hold in, and would Hard Knocks be a spot where maybe Cook sees and his agent would see an opportunity? Hey, we can steal a headline. We can make a point here if he were to sit out. Two practices, hold in for two practices.
Mm-hmm.
He can kind of let the NFL world know, put the Bills on notice, and then just go practice. But the story would get out there, he wants a contract.
Yeah.
You could do that, I suppose. You never know what an agent's tack is going to be or what the strategy will be. The fact that he showed up to mandatory minicamp, he said, I don't want to get fined. And that makes sense.
Right.
Now he shows up. Could we have a hold-in scenario tomorrow? I guess we could.
I don't think there's any chance of a holdout.
No.
I mean, he's not going to want that with the fines anyway.
No. But a hold-in would just be he's here and he's not taking part in team drills.
The fact, though, that he did things at minicamp, like, I guess he could hold in. I still am so, like, weirded out by what that would look like on the field. He's going to stand off to the side in sweats. Like, I guess on this team, it just feels different, maybe for that, than on other teams, but it happens on other teams, and everybody gets along fine after. Ja'Marr Chase skipped, like, 3 weeks of training camp last week, didn't he? He just stood on the side, didn't do anything, and then what happened when the season started? Everybody was fine. Got along great. So, I guess he could do that, and everybody would be okay, but I think I'd be surprised if he wasn't just on the field doing things tomorrow without a contract.
And to the point about, like, Ray Davis and his story, he is, of course, he's a great story. The Bills, though, they're very good, obviously, at the culture they've created, the family, the type family, finger quotes there. But don't forget, great for Hard Knocks and great for the room and great for that is all well and good until it comes time to pay a guy. And if he's worth more than he's not worth his whatever, if the player thinks he's worth a lot more than the Bills do, or they're not willing to go to a certain number on a contract, then the player that is the great story and the player that is perfect for the room goes somewhere else.
Right.
We'll always have the best example of this will be Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis will always be the answer to this question.
Mm-hmm.
They love this guy. Could they let him leave? They let Gabe walk because they thought he wasn't good enough to get the salary he was going to get on the open market. Gabe got it, didn't last, and is still looking for a team now. Like that.
Yeah, he's not on a team.
He's not on a team.
You could have him for free, basically.
And you wonder right now if there's an injury to somebody in training camp, are they going to call Gabe Davis? It wouldn't stun me.
If he hasn't signed anywhere.
I mean, right now, I don't think he could make this team, but he was their Iron Bill, right? The guy that won all the awards for working out in the offseason, everything about the culture. He's a captain. He's amazing for all that stuff. And then it got to, well, do you want to give him $13 million a year? No, we don't want to do that. So,
which ended up looking very much like the right decision.
Sure.
He had 200 yards last year for Jacksonville, and right now he's not on a team.
Right.
Like, I kind of would be surprised if he's not on one by the start of the season, but maybe.
We're going on, okay, if you want to go 2 years in a row now. We're going on 2 years in a row where a prominently featured Bills receiver is not on a team by the next year.
Right,
Cooper. Amari Cooper right now is not on a team.
Yeah.
You know, you could say that not signing Gabe was the right move, and that's probably – there's no doubt about that. Like, if they had signed him, that would have been a mistake. But, you know, why do we always talk about receiver? Because it was pretty clear they probably needed somebody additionally – while Davis was still here.
Right.
And they didn't really do that outside of Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. But to get back to the initial point, it's they love a guy. They'll love loving a guy.
Mm-hmm.
They'll love Connor McGovern, and they'll love Osiris Torrance, and it's time to pay those two, and the salary cap's real, and it comes down to, well, who gets paid? Is Cedric Van Pran Granger look like he's ready for that job? Because if he is, then Connor McGovern is going to go get a big contract somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or if they pay McGovern, are they going to say sorry to Osiris Torrance because we can't pay everybody on the offensive line?
Yeah. You know what is interesting, though? There is one guy that is able to withstand all of that while only being pretty good.
I know who that is.
It's Knox.
Yeah.
Knox is not
too important. He's too important, and he has never had to.
Yeah. But he's also not a great player.
No,
like we're talking about with Davis or like any of these other guys.
Right.
But
like if he went somewhere else, what kind of numbers would he put up? It might not look much different than what happened with Gabe, where the production goes down. He plays a ton. They value him. They extended him really early, and it was quick.
It's like,
boom, here's a contract. And since extending him, they've just been restructuring it and moving it and moving it and extending it. Right? Like
since extending him, he has 497 yards.
For how much a year? $14 million a year?
In 2 seasons on this new contract. Yeah, for whatever. It's like, at the time, he was like one of the top 10 highest paid tight ends in football. I don't think that's still true, but he's close.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns.
Yeah. Like, which is, it's just, I mean, that's more than Kincaid in 2 years.
His role is more about all this stuff that you're talking, not Iron Bill like Gabe Davis, but it's the locker room and it's the relationship with Josh and it is like what he does for others more. And does he block? Right? Like, he does that, right? Yep. Like, he's important to the run game because he's doing some of the dirty work that Kincaid's not going to do. So there's more than just what's his role in the pass game. But he got paid after the big year in the pass game. That's what got him paid. And then, it's not there anymore. But he's, really, especially when you already have one guy like that on your books that is giving you all that stuff that you love and he's a leader, but he's only pretty good. Like, you can't just pay all of those guys.
Right.
Which is why you can't keep Gabe Davis at $13 million when you're already paying Dawson Knox, whatever you're paying him. What is the number? 8, 9, 10 on Knox? If Knox wasn't under contract and they had paid Gabe Davis and he caught 600 yards last year, you know, you might feel like that's more okay. And Cook, I don't know where Cook falls into on that, though, because Cook is not... I think he's better in these areas than he was as a rookie, but he's not seen as like the leader in that room, or like he's one of their veteran presences, but I wouldn't say that anyone talks about him on the same level that like Allen or Knox is.
Well, one of the things that happened to Dawson Knox, of course, was drafting Dalton Kincaid, and Kincaid talked about this in the Tyler Dunn piece where he spoke with Tyler Dunn at GoLongTD.com saying that Knox had been such a great friend and mentor and teammate and colleague, and sometimes if you get drafted, you're taking snaps away or catches away from a guy, it can get tense, but it didn't. That's really what happened to Dawson Knox's career, was they draft Kincaid, and they have a different tight end that they kind of want to throw to. I mean, I thought Knox was perfectly fine in his productivity.
Yeah.
Still, like, you might be right about being overpaid. It's a 3-year deal with about $10 million per year. His cap hit this year is 14.5.
Yeah, like that is a monster. That's not great.
That's a monster cap hit. And at the end of this season, there's an out. If they were to move on from Dawson Knox at the end of this year, they would save about $11 million in cap. That's a big number. But wouldn't you just guess that they restructure
they
and
will,
keep him again?
They will absolutely extend
it. Like, he'll just...
They'll extend him and spread it out.
Yeah, I think he'll just keep humming. He's got two void years at the end of this thing already that they would have put on somewhere along the way in a restructure. And,
Yeah, it's more for him than just the yards. But, I don't know.
We got to all this on James Cook and Ray Davis.
But because really, like, I think part of it is how many guys do I want to pay that are pretty good?
Which is a model that the Bills... Did you see who did it? Steven Ruiz, the Ringer? Who did the roster rankings yesterday? I think it might have been Steven Ruiz. Top rosters in the NFL.
Oh, there also was the collaborative, the guys at ESPN did it, like Aaron Schatz and Seth Walder and Mike Clay.
That might have been the one.
Yeah.
And the Bills come in with a top five roster.
Number four.
And it is an interesting little experiment here in what the Bills have done, which is, keep your good players, not great players. Not to say they haven't kept great players. They've done that too. But they have a lot of middle-tier contract guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about Rousseau for this too. Like, he's not your TJ Watt. He's good. Keep him.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple schools of thoughts on this. There are some teams, I think the Niners are the best example of this. The Niners are going to pay great players, and anybody else might get moved on from, and they're going to just backload with picks. Meanwhile, the Bills have a lot of salaries, like Knox with a 14.5 cap hit, and Shakir and Palmer and Samuel. Like, the Bills really do have a lot of money invested in these weapons, because it feels like they are almost buying floor over ceiling, right? They want guys they trust, guys they think are good enough, and in a lot of ways they've been right about that in the way that they've built their roster. Because here they have a top five roster. And yet, if you look at all of the rankings of the top players and Pro Bowlers and all this, they don't come in the top five in that department. Other teams have more players maybe near the top, but the Bills are consistently mentioned as like a top five roster because of the way they built it. So for better or for worse, it's kind of like a balanced build.
Yeah, because what's interesting is if you look at the Bills' top, let's say, eight cap hits on the year this year, and how, like, who are they and what their roles are on the team. Like, okay, so Allen's number one, and obviously that's Josh Allen. Number two is Deion Dawkins.
Great.
That fits.
Great player.
That fits.
Yep.
Number three is Dawson Knox. He's the third highest cap hit.
Yeah.
Not the third most important player. Matt Milano is number four. Ed Oliver is number five. Daquan Jones is number six. Connor McGovern, Curtis Samuel. Those are your next two after that. Like in your top eight, I got four or five guys that are being paid that aren't really critical. Like right now, that would be Jones for that. Sure. That would be Knox for that. That would be Samuel for sure on that front. Like these guys are, you know, they're not going to play, but they are not like any, they're not critical to what's going on.
And cap hit might be a little bit loose on that because
that can be where you are in your contract.
Right, because Knox's AAV was less than 10, but the cap is 14 because they've moved it.
And Daquan Jones is higher because he's at the end of his contract. It was lower at the beginning.
Yeah.
And like last year, Daquan Jones was 2.8 on their cap, and this year it's 9.4.
Yeah. And isn't this kind of a point, as you list those out, that's why they wanted to supplement these last two drafts with a lot of picks and a lot of young players? Like time to turn the roster over, get younger, which they've done.
Right, in a couple of years, that'll be, like, we'll see how these free agents do. Michael Hoyt, in a couple of years, is going to be one of their highest cap hits. And so will Josh Palmer, right? Those guys right now are low because they're only into year one. So that's part of the Knox conversation, though, is you want to keep him around? Because next year, I can't imagine you're going to want to keep him around at $17 million on your books. You'll either want to move on from that, or more likely, you'll want to spread that out and do like another 3-year deal and make him a player that's going to be on the Bills for his whole career.
803-0550. A Rasul Douglas sighting. Have you seen the team that might bring him in? We'll get to that next. I'll mention that for you. And Sal coming up 8:00. Jeremy and Joe, Bills report to camp today. First practice is tomorrow. So happy football season. We are getting started. 26 of the 32 teams report today. Already had two in. A couple more coming with the, I think it's the Falcons and the Steelers that are the last. 28 of 32 report today. Yeah, camp has arrived. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. That Rasul Douglas note where he might land coming up in a moment.